This podcast is brought to you by Daigan Minibus Services, providing transport services to Clara and the surrounding areas since 1984.
Broadcasting live from the little town of Clara, County Offaly, it's What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Get in touch today through all our social channels and have your say. Oh, and thanks for listening. Now it's over to you, Lloyd. What's the story?
Hi everybody, welcome back. It's Thursday. This is What's the Story with myself, Lloyd Bracken. This is episode 24. We're at this now since last March and getting all the comments and feedback, and it is brilliant to get because it keeps us going here, and I know you're liking the show, and we're trying to get different people on and have different shows and everything, but we've big plans for next year, so that's just around the corner. Don't forget to have a Santa podcast coming up on the 17th of December. If you'd like to get your kids' messages in, just email me at littletownmed@gmail.com. Send us in your kids' names and their ages, where they're from and what they'd like of Santa, of course, and we'll get Santa to read out your messages on the 17th of December. Don't forget, try and have your messages in before the 13th of December, because we'll be recording with Santa live from the North Pole around then. My next couple of guests on the podcast are local heroes in my book. The local fire service are going to join me, well, some of them anyway, to have a little chat, to tell me about what they do, how they train, and a little bit of the history behind the Clara Fire Station. Let's hope none of their pagers goes off while we're interviewing them. But before that, it's over to our roving resident reporter with What's the Story, Barry Flynn. What does it take this fire service to get up and going?
Well, Lloyd, Clara Fire Service is, like most of Ireland, a retained fire service. In the cities, the fire brigade is operated by full-time fire crews. They come into the fire station at the start of their shift to deal with whatever calls happen during their shift, and then at the end of the shift, they're head home and they forget all about it. The retained service is often referred to as the part-time fire service, but to be fair, nothing could be further from the truth. The crews of the retained service carry a bleeper or pager with them, and they're on call all the year round, day and night. There must always be the majority of the crew available, so getting time off can be very difficult. Perhaps most of us on a good summer's weekend day might decide on a whim to go to Salt Hill or Lilliput or the zoo. That's not possible if you're a retained firefighter. You must be sure that there are sufficient crew members available, or you simply can't leave Clara. If you need the fire brigade, you dial 999 or 112 and ask for the fire brigade. If you know where your nearest fire station is, for example, if you're in Clara, Ballycumber or Tubber, you can ask for Clara Fire Brigade in County Offaly. If not, just give your address and they'll select the nearest fire brigade. Don't be afraid to call the fire brigade if you see something on fire. There's a myth out there, but it's not true. If you call the brigade, you're not charged. The person who makes the phone call is not charged. When the fire brigade or the fire control room find the nearest fire brigade, they set off the firefighters' bleepers. When it goes off, they might be in the middle of their job. They might be in bed. It could be the middle of the dinner or helping the kids with the homework. But they drop everything and head for the fire station. Get the details, hop on the fire truck. 5 minutes later, they could be dealing with an accident or a chimney fire or doing CPR on someone or dealing with a bad house fire. When it's finished, it's back home to pick up where they left off. And to be fair, the crew and their families, in my opinion, deserve huge respect for the commitment that they give to this community.
Absolutely. Barry Flynn, well done, and thank you very much for that report. Right, my first guest from the Clara Fire Service is the station officer, John Lane. Firstly, what attracted you to the fire service and how long have you been there?
I was working locally when the applications came out for the fire service. I was asked by a friend of mine, Barry Flynn, would I be interested? So I said, sure, I'll fill in an application. Went through the procedure. At that time, there was 48 people in for the position. So I didn't think that I'd be successful in it. But on being successful, I was delighted to have got it. And I've enjoyed it ever since.
How long have you been there now, John?
I'm just going on 16 years there now.
16, right. So, John, before you joined the fire service, did you realise the importance of the fire services in Clara before?
I honestly didn't. And that's being quite honest. I thought that I would see the lads out training on probably their drill night and probably had an odd chimney fire here or there. But I didn't realise the commitment that was involved in it. It is life-changing from the freedom that you would have had, say, in your ordinary life from your day-to-day work. Okay, when you were working in your full-time job, say, you were there 8 o'clock in the morning, finished at 5 in the evening. But then you had your evening for yourself. Unlike in the fire service, you're there 24/7. Unless you have time off or cover for to be able to partake in other activities.
Okay, so a huge commitment indeed. Right, John, let's get some operational info then. So how does the fire station operate? As I said twice there, your retained fire station. So tell us how that works then.
Retained fire service, we have a crew here in the town of 8. We have a station officer, we have 2 sub-officers, the rest of the crew as firefighters. From the time that your letter goes off, drop whatever you're at. A lot of the guys would be doing a bit of painting or, you know, we have electricians, we have plasters, we have every type of character in the fire service, but they have to drop it whatever they're at, turn up to the station, and they're supposed to be within 1.5 miles of the station. We generally, from the time the alert are going off to the time that we go mobile to an incident, we're out in around 4.5 to 5 minutes, which is a very good response time. In general, we turn up to the station. There's a fax that'll let us know what the call is, entails. And if we want more information on it, we just go radio control. They give us the more details of the incident and we go mobile to the incident.
John, 4.5 minutes seems like a very short time if you're at home with family or painting or decorating and to being on blue lights.
That's it. You drop everything. And it's an emergency service that we're involved in. It's not here, we'll have a cup of tea before we go around. Every crew member understands that when our alert goes off, they don't go off unless there's somebody actually needs us. Mm. Plain and simple.
Okay. So, John, what areas do we cover then? Is it just Clara?
We cover Clara and surrounding areas. We cover out towards Rahan, Derry Cooley, out towards Kilbeggan, the motorway, M6 there. We go eastbound from Junction 6 to Junction 5 and westbound from Junction 6 to Junction 7. We'd cover Ballycumber. Also, could be called in to assist another brigade in another part of the county or our neighbours, Westmeath.
How many calls on average would you get per year?
On average, we used to be averaging there in around 100, 120. But in recent years, because of people being more aware of fires and safety and stuff, because of big programs that goes on in the fire service with Fire Safety Week and everything, our calls have reduced significantly.
So do you think that's a marker to people being more responsible?
Yes, I would. I'd say that the educational end of it for these school safety weeks and stuff, where the firemen will go into the schools, talk about being more careful with candles and heaters and all that type of stuff. So then when the children bring it home to the parents, it probably clicks in with the parents as well.
So are there busy times of year in particular for the fire service?
Yeah, well, coming into the winter time, kind of the chimney fires would be more common call, say. But look, you can have domestic fires at any time of the year, kind of during the summertime when people be having barbecues or anything. You know, accidents will happen. Yeah. You know, people will leave things in close vicinity of open flames and stuff. But in general, look, we range from RTC, road traffic collisions, to domestic house fires, commercial fires, cardiac arrests. You know, yeah. We'd assist the National Ambulance there with cardiac arrest. So, not that we're paramedics, we're EFRs and CFRs. So, you know, an EFR, emergency first responder. So we'd be, that would kind of, where we would be turning up at RTCs and stuff, where people would need immediate medical attention for to stop bleeds or on how we handle casualties and all that, for to have them ready for paramedics when they arrive on scene.
Okay, so if somebody in Clara unfortunately gets a cardiac arrest, are the fire service called?
Not automatically. If the ambulance isn't within a certain time limit of getting to the casualty, then we would get us alerted for to respond to the cardiac arrest.
Okay. Is there a support network there for the officers for difficult calls?
Oh yes, we have, there's a counselling service there, CISM, It's there for, it's not only for us as firemen, but also our families, because when we would deal with a nasty incident, there's always, you bring it home. Okay, we'd have a debrief in our own station. At such a time, we have it organized for a counselor to come if it's a very bad incident. But we also have to keep it in mind that when we return to our own families, that we could bring that unknown to ourselves, and it can affect our families. So our families are entitled to counselling as well.
Okay, so that support network is there, which is very important.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So yeah, at the minute you have one engine and one support vehicle. What's your on your wish list? Would a new fire station be welcome?
Yes, a new fire station would be very welcome. We have a site allocated. As station officer, I would be involved in meetings and continuously pushing it that we would like to get a new fire service or a new fire station built for the future of the town, because the town is growing. So the town is
What would it entail, John? What's this new fire station look like in your head?
Well, I would like at least a two-bay station, that we could have at least a water tanker along with an Alpha One and our support vehicle, lecture room for us having courses, holding our own courses for lectures and stuff, because there is a lot of training that goes on in the fire station.
I have been in the fire station myself recently there, and it is tight, the fire station in Clara.
Yes.
I mean, to do anything, you really have to pull the engine out all the time, don't you?
Oh, yeah, because it is only a single bay station, and we have done a little bit of refurbishing for to give us a bit of comfort in it. We've got a unit onto the side of it there, a fabricated unit with a bit of kitchenette, shower, and our lockers. But in general, when we want to do any demonstrations or lectures in it, Joe, we have to remove the appliance.
Okay. Because you look at fire stations like Forban and Burr, I mean, they're state-of-the-art, really, aren't they, compared?
Class accommodations. And like that, every fireman in the county, one station has it, the other boys are entitled to it, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I think you're right, John. Yeah. And there's county councillors, isn't Clara? We need to get this fire station up and running. John, is it a rewarding job?
It is very rewarding. You have your days that you just you step back after a call, and being honest, you do pat yourself in the back. That went very well. There was a good outcome of it. But you have your days where things mightn't come out so good. But in general, it is a very rewarding job.
Okay. So, John, lastly then, if people want to join the fire service, what advice would you give them?
People want to join the fire service, I would honestly tell them to think about it. Talk to men that are actually in the service. Men and women can apply for it. But in Clare, we only have men here at the moment. But kind of it's still open for women to apply and get involved with the fire service. But I would say keep your fitness up and be of strong mind and think about the commitment that you're going to be given. But it's not only you're given the commitment, but your family's given the commitment. So just keep that in mind. You're going to have a lot of training involved in it initially, and you're going to have incidents that you mightn't have been really expecting and stuff. But in general, look, it's a good service to be in.
Okay. And John, then the last thing then, obviously we're coming very close to Christmas. How important is it for people just to have small things like a smoke alarm, fire blanket? How can we keep safe going into the Christmas period?
Well, coming into the Christmas period, look, you're going to have candles lit in the house, and you're going to have Christmas lights on your trees and probably extra fires on. So just make sure that your chimneys are cleaned, that if you're placing a candle anywhere, make sure that there's no curtains blown over on it. Don't have it in a drafty area where things could actually blow on it. And so you have dry materials, like your Christmas tree is dry, it's seasoning out, so it's getting drier and drier. And like that, when you're cooking in your kitchen, a lot of cooking will be done over the Christmas period. Have your fire blanket, your fire extinguisher. And when you do your initial bit, look, don't hesitate to call the fire brigade.
999.
999.
That's it. John Lane, Station Officer with Clara Fire Service. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Lloyd.
So I'm joined next by Philip Keegan. Philip is the sub-officer in Clara Fire Station. Philip, what's a sub-officer?
Basically entails it's a sub-station officer, one step down from the station officer. But it means that you also can turn out if the station officer not there, you take on the role as SO and you deal with the calls as they come in or whatever has to be dealt with within station level.
So how long have you been in the fire service in Clara for, Philip?
8 years this month.
You came from a military background with the Defence Forces. What was that like stepping into the fire service?
The transition, it was daunting enough. Like it was coming out of one uniformed environment and then stepping back into another one. I will say the commitment to the fire service, I suppose, is different because it's on a more personal level and you're dealing with people's emergencies and the outcomes of that emergency, you know. I suppose the big thing with the fire service here in Clara is everybody knows us that are in the fire service and know we're firemen. And a lot of time, like, there's nearly every house or every area of Clara here that we can relate to, that we've been at a call there or we've been with people that have had a difficult time. And to be able to go back and touch base with them at a later stage or even at the call to reassure them or let them know, look, listen, we can deal with this, you know, or we can help you out, you know.
I see a piece in my Tullamore Tribune or off the Independent and fire officers wanted or firefighters wanted, and I go for it and I get it. For some reason, they hired me. What can they expect from the training then?
The training hat, like within the fire service, is reasonably substantial. The initial thing is once you get through all the administration stuff, the medicals, and you finally are approved to become a firefighter, you're sent away on a 3-week firefighting recruit course. It has been redesignated in recent years. It's known as a firefighter skills course, and it's accredited as a module towards achieving a level 6 QQI qualification with further training and further course and stuff like that, and time spent in the actual service. Once your 3-week recruit course is done, that basically gives you the basic skills to be able to operate as a novice firefighter on the fire ground with a fire crew. The real training for a firefighter really starts when he comes back to the crew after he's done his recruit course and he's integrated into the crew that he's with here in Clara.
Is it almost like an apprenticeship then when you come back to the fire station?
Yeah, because there will be things that you'll be taught on your recruit course which are straight down the line and have to be done that way in a certain way. And then when you come back to the crew, then there's obviously small tweaks and there'll be more efficient ways of doing stuff. And then, not even that, it's actually integrating with the crew and being able to work in a buddy setup where there's somebody with you at all times, monitoring what you do, help you out, make sure you get the stuff done right and in an efficient manner.
So my first 3 weeks then, I'm a novice firefighter. What have I learned in them 3 weeks?
It's a broad range of skills. You'll be given exposure on nearly everything that you will meet out in the fire ground from RTCs. The bulk of it is being able to handle equipment that's actually on the appliance safely and in a safe manner with other crew members. So you'll do all your ladders, you'll do your hose work, rolling out lines, making up lines, operating pumps, portable pumps, the main pump. From there then you'll be moving on then to RTC, an introduction to that. And they're kind of the base skills. A lot of rope work in as well, tying knots and stuff like that is part of it as well. We do central training in Tullamore, where it'd be if we need RTC stuff or something specific, like the BA, the breathing apparatus, we would do that in Tullamore. For other stuff, other training then, we can do it in our own areas, say, or say working at heights. We would do that in Marion Square. A lot of kids and people in Marion Square would know us from being up there. We do a lot of our training there because we have access to the house. It's a designated training area and that. But you can change up the training all the time to reflect what you need in the actual training analysis and stuff like that. Say there's something specific there, a new piece of equipment that we need to test out, we can bring that into the training. Physical fitness is important, especially for the BA. For all firefighters, once you finish your recruit training, your firefighter skills course, from there then your next big one, and it really decides whether you're going to be a fireman or not, is doing your breathing apparatus, your 2 weeks initial wearers BA course. That is where you really do need the bulk of your fitness. And it's one of those courses that's really robust, and it's designed that way because when people are coming out of a building that's burning, you're going in there. And you need to have your wits about you. You need to be able to do the job that's required in there. That course itself is 2 weeks in duration. It exposes the firefighter to real fire and firefighting. It also exposes them to heat, humidity, strict searching techniques. And they really are drilled into you on the 2 weeks. You must be able to do that properly and in a safe manner to be able to get in and get out. Pathfinding. So it's basically pathfinding in a building that's burning. You need to know your limits as well on that course, because you really will be pushed to the brink, like where you're on your hands and knees coming out the door. Casually handling as well. And then communications. And the biggest part of it then is actually the actual BA set as well. You need to know that inside and out, every working part of it. And it's continuous wearing of the set. So it's, we call it donning and doffing of the actual breeding apparatus. The set itself, like, you know, and you need to know that inside and out. The equipment is definitely without a doubt the firefighting equipment we wear, from our turnout gear, our first turnout gear, to the breathing apparatus. That stuff is state of the art, and it is designed to protect you from the heat up to and including in excess of 350 degrees. That's what the uniform. But the only thing about that is it's the exposure to the heat and humidity together over a long period of time that will wear you down in there. So you need to know your limits. You need to know when you're listening, I need to turn around here, I'm just not going to get any further, you know.
So that is probably the rite of passage to your fire, your career in the fire service. Is it that the BA, the hardest part of the training?
The breathing apparatus would be the most physical end of any firefighter's time spent in the fire service.
It's just important at this point that I point out that how professional the fire service is in Offaly and in Clara. It's part-time, but there's a lot of pride in this, and there's a lot of training and high-tech equipment in that. People might not see that looking in.
Before I come on here, I actually wrote down all the different courses that we have to do and skills we have to maintain as we go through the fire service. So if you bear with me, I'll go down through the whole lot of them and give you a run of everything that needs to be done. So as we discussed the recruit course, then your breathing apparatus. The main ones then with the breathing apparatus, then you go on to compartment fire behaviour, which is basically a small unit like what we're in here, dealing with that small unit and how we manage water in the unit. It's dealing with a fire behaviour branch, which allows us to break up the water droplets. So basically 1 litre of water can be broken down into 1,700 litres of steam, you know, or water particles. Then you move on to CPC wearers, which is the chemical protective clothing. The fire service takes the lead in all your hazardous chemicals that are transported on the road networks and stuff like that. So after that, then we basically deal with CAFSTEN, compressed air foam systems, which is a new technology as regards dealing with fires. It's basically where we put foam on a fire and it smothers the fire. It takes away the oxygen. Once you take away that, you smother the fire. And from there, then we can put the fire out. As John dealt with, we do CFR, EFR, so it's cardiac arrest, and then we move up to EFR. Then everybody goes through that course. The driving end of it, then everybody has Class C driving license to drive the truck, which is done. And then you go on and do your ESDS, which is your emergency service driving standards. That's done under the Road Safety Authority. So it basically allows you to go out on the road and drive under blue lights. Other small courses then that are done is fall arrest, winches, water rescue. We have a water rescue team that deal with all your water rescues. We have a separate team. Guys are trained in that, skilled up to level 3, which means they're able to swim in the water, effect rescues in the water. And then we have our flex administration then. We have a tablet and everybody has to be able to manage their own equipment on that. Do all our checks, our monthly appliance checks, our quarterly tests, all done on the flex. We also have our RTC course as well, road traffic collision course. So, to sum it up, the firefighters are a well-rounded, professional, highly motivated team member. And these qualifications and their experiences is what really gels and motivates all firefighters to respond to emergencies. You know, all the training, all the experiences, that's what you're bringing when you arrive at the station, you know.
So I get my uniform, I'm after passing all my training. What's it like getting the first call on your pager?
I suppose everybody has their first call. Mine was an alarm activation, but of course you don't know when you're arriving to the station, you really don't know. You just arrive down, you're hot to trot, ready to go, I'm going to save the world here, you know, and you get the breakdown of it. But I suppose the first part of it is getting all your gear on, making sure you bring everything with you, so you have your helmet, you have all your gear on, and you get into the back of the appliance, and then there's a plan made in the back of the appliance. Then the SO or whoever's in charge will decide, look, listen, I need two guys in BA, or I need you in high vis, or you're going to look after this, or you're looking after that. So a small plan made in the back of the appliance, initially on the way. Now plans change, but at least you have a kind of a basis, you have a job, you have something to do. As soon as you get out there, I'm going to go and do this job, and then you report back and you get another job.
So before Philip Keegan or Jimmy Taylor or Wesley Kine gets into bed at night, do you have your stuff ready?
Oh, man. Do you know what? It's like a religion, so it is. That's where the family, I think, buy into it. Like, you know, that's that the keys are left hanging at the bottom of the door before you go up the stairs or wherever you're going. You know, your jacket's inside the door with your gear in it or whatever bits and pieces you need to grab. For me personally, and I think everybody does it, is you leave the tracksuit bottoms down with the alerter on it on a bed or a chair or whatever. You'll have your top on top of that, your jocks or whatever you're going to be there, and your socks, and your socks are in your shoes or whatever. And it's just automatic. As soon as the alerter goes off, you get out. You manage your clothes, get them all on. Hopefully you didn't put them on back to front or inside out, which does happen.
Well, as John Lane said, yeah, it's life-changing. It's yeah, not just yeah, the,
and it's,
I'm going to join the fire service, I'm going to fly around in the blue light. It's for yeah, your it's, family, it's life-changing.
Yeah, for sure. And I know Brenda's had many sleepless nights there where she'd stay awake like until I come back or that sort of thing. Most of us come back in, you'd go and have a cup of tea or whatever, and you'd...
Is it hard to switch off sometimes, Philip?
You do, like, you know, it's not... I suppose over time it grows on you, and, you know, you'll be off doing whatever you're doing and you'll be relaxing. And once it goes off, then that's okay, look. You just go through the system you have in your own head. And again, you get to the station, you kind of have yourself rolled into what needs to be done. And it's... Sometimes it's kind of the practical thing, get in the station, get the appliance going, get into my gear, find out what the call is. A lot of the time I'd be running to the office, pick up the facts, shout out to the boys, look, listen, what we're dealing with, car fire, house fire, whatever. Depending on what it is, the urgency will, you'll see lads kick into another gear and it's just automatic depending on what it is. If it's domestic house fire, it's a given. Boys are in, they just grab the gear, half dressed, and they're finishing off whatever they need to do, getting into the appliance, and everybody's going.
Well, lads, I think I have to thank you from the whole town. It's a fantastic. I think it's a calling. Fire services and ambulances and medical personnel. What you do for the town is fantastic. The work you do, the training you do, and to just leave your family and everything at the drop of a hat, it's fantastic. And thank you very much, Philip Keegan, sub officer of Clara Fire Station.
Thanks very much.
Wow, anybody fancy joining the Clara Fire Service? There's a lot of training, but very rewarding job, according to the two lads there, and take great pride in their work. My next guest on this podcast about the Clara Fire Services, and we're going to have a little tour of the fire engine, so I'm going to get out of the studio here. My pager has gone off, and I'm going to hop down to the fire station to Wesley Coyne, and he's going to show me all around the appliance. Wesley, how long are you in the fire service now?
Currently 15 years in the service, sub-officer here, Clara Fire Station. Joined there back in 2005, myself and John Lane sort of joined together.
So who else are we down there, Wesley? I know we've talked about John and Philip, who else is there?
I suppose the most senior man down there now at the minute is Martin Buckley, he's 24 years. Then you have Michael Gavin, 10 year. Jimmy Taylor's in around 5 years, and you've Gary Buckley and Ian Maher, about 3 years now coming up. So that's the crew there.
So we have a family connection there as well, haven't we, in the fire service?
Two Buckleys, yeah.
We have a newer fire engine for starters down in Clara Fire Service. So what's the difference in that one and the old one you had?
The new addition we have on this one now is the CAF system. It's a compressed air foam system. We have an extra first aid reel on the old appliance. We only had the one.
So first aid reel, Wesley, is this, I suppose, the hose that's ready to go when you get to a car fire or...
Exactly, like, yeah. It can roll out about 60 metres. It's our go-to hose, yeah.
Oh, so it's a quick access.
It's a quick
then.
Access, yeah, exactly.
We're at the front of the fire engine, for say, so what can we see here?
Yeah, well, as I said, it's a Class B 2005 Volvo automatic. We have it now at 6 weeks. The front there, we have the wrench. It's a 3-ton winch. I go to, we look down now the front of the appliance. We have the lockers either side. The driver's side, we call the driver's side. The offside, and then you have the passenger side, we call it the near side. So we have 6 lockers in total, 3 on either side.
So just for before we go through that, the Class B fire engine you're talking about, so this has basically everything. This is a one-stop shop. Other fire services would have different fire appliances for different things, would that be correct?
Exactly, like the likes of the bigger stations, Tullamore, Eden, Derry, Burr, they'd have an ET. An ET would be going to the likes of Road Collision, they'd have a full turnout of their... sort of cutting gear, the jaws of life, and all the cutting gear is on this one appliance. We've everything we need
combined in one.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Wesley, open up these lockers and give me a look.
That'll be the front near side locker, that's the front near side locker. The bottom here now, you see a big pump. That's a portable pump. It's used, say, for lifting water.
It's over a river or something.
Oh, exactly, yeah. River, lakes. Even lifting off a hydrant, if it great piece of equipment, yeah.
Various different drawers here as well, was there with other
various
stuff on
different
it?
Drawers. Second drawer here laid is for airbags, two different kinds. I won't take them out. The middle one is all for the fall arrest equipment. Fall arrest now, we're climbing heights. We can hit the harnesses now, and it makes our job a little bit slower going out chimney fire, but it's way safer now. It's great. The middle near lock are laid. These you can see yourself, these are all hoses. We've two sets on this. We have the 70mm delivery hose and we have a 45mm delivery hose. They're 25 metres in length.
Seem quite heavy, was there?
They are heavy, lads. You can lift one there if you want.
Right, we'll have a little lift there. So I would like to be rolling a good shoot with him out, Westy.
No, I tell you, you'd be tired by the end of the evening, all right, lads, yeah.
And what's this little piece of equipment up here? Yeah. It looks very well used, Westy.
The most popular equipment on the planes, I think. We've used it on most calls now.
What is this, Wesley? What's it called?
It's the Halligan bar, or the Hooligan bar, people call it.
Just for anyone listening, it looks like a crowbar with a fork on the end of it and an axe on the other side of it.
That's exactly like what it is. It's you have the paint. We use it for prizing. Mainly, we use it for lifting bonnets of cars or trying to break into a door or anything. You know, it's a great piece of equipment.
So all the top-class technology you have on this fire engine and the Mulligan bar is a go-to.
Oh, yeah, it's the go-to tool, indeed.
All right, and this third locker, Wesley, the third near-side locker, is it?
That'd be the rear near-side locker, lad.
Okay, we're getting there.
Middle and rear, yeah.
Okay, you have all your traffic cones and your... What's this yellow hose down here, Wesley?
That's our first aid hose, lad. That'd be our go-to hose. Say we pull up to an incident tonight, we run with that first.
So you don't have to roll out the different hoses, you can just roll out this and it's connected.
We'd start off, depends on the size of the fire, you know. Yeah, there's 60 metres on length of that, you know. And the good thing about this new one is that we have two, and you'll see the fire sides, you know.
So of course you have your buckets and shovels here,
We still have those, lads, yeah.
On top, Wesley, the ladders.
Four types of ladders up there, lads. The first one there you see is a 10.5 metre ladder. It takes three lads to pitch that one up. The middle one is your 13.5 metre ladder. That's a four-man job, and that's serious with that. Yeah.
Is there anything in specific you'd use this big one for?
I'll be honest with you, I've been in a 15-year, and I think we've used an anger about four times, I'd say, lad. And I remember four calls.
And the back, is this the main brains of the operation, Wesley?
That's the main pump.
Yeah. So how much water would the fire engine hold, Wesley?
The engine holds at 1,800 litres. That main pump is a two-stage pump. This is called a pump bay. And in the pump bay, you see the three outlets there on top. They have their little round circles on top, little valves. And they're your outlets for delivering water. Those red hoses I showed you, the 70mm hoses, they connect in to those outlets. So they'll be at an end of a branch on the end of the hose and we'll deliver water out to him. And they're all lower pressure. That's the lower pressure side of this pump.
Okay. The fire engine is plugged in here. Why is that?
It's plugged in now for another... It's for charging our compressor at night time. And you'll see yourself when you put you into the cab. When you get into the cab, it's for charging the radios and just to make sure everything is working for us.
Just behind us here, Wesley, you have some other equipment here behind the fire engine. What's this for, specialised stuff here?
That's our water rescue equipment, lad. There's, you see the four bags there, there's four of us trained up in it. I'll pull out this bag. You know, you see that, lad? That'd be like it's a vest, it's a flotation device.
Are you a part of the water team here?
Yeah, I'm part of it. There's four of us there, Jimmy, Taylor, myself, Martin Buckley and Mick Gavin. First off, I did my course in Cork. I did it in the depths. It was in winter and it was snowing and everything and we did down the Lee. And it's a big difference from the River Brosna, lad. I was first on the queue and I was, to be honest with you, I was bricking it. I didn't know what was going to happen, whether the boys have to come in and save me. So I jumped in anyway and... The jacket did what I did. It lifted me on my back and it's 100% safe. You know, it's
total brilliant. Confidence with this.
Total confidence with that, yeah.
What have we got here, Wesley?
This is the offside rear locker, mate.
So this is the fourth locker then on the fire engine.
Exactly, yeah. Another first aid reel. That's another bonus to us. We have two on this one. These lads are...
Yeah, no, but various different pieces of...
Yeah, these are all branches.
Connections. And
exactly, yeah.
We have our chimney sweep brushes here.
Yeah, we still have them. First popular lead. But this piece of equipment here, I'm just going to show you. This is called a stir pump lead. I don't know whether you've seen it before. We use it for most chimney fires now. We would put out a fire, the chimney's on fire, we put out a stir pump rather than going up onto the chimney. We'd fight the fire from the ground. So I'll just show you how we use it. So we take out the stir pump. You can see yourself, it looks like a big bicycle pump with a long hose coming over. And at the top of that, at the top of the hose, there's an attachment for our chimney sticks. And we screw the sticks onto the top. We fill a bucket of water. We put the foot of the pump into the bucket. One lad will be on the sticks, rodding the chimney, while the other lad is pumping, and we're putting out the fire that way.
Yeah.
It's huge. It's a huge tool in the box there. Yeah, it's very good. It's very, very efficient. Yeah.
What strikes me with the fire engine itself is the amount of engineering that's in it, with the lockers and the drawers and things pulling out and everything. Like, it's very, very well equipped.
Ah, just as huge, like, yeah. How would they even think of them, you know?
Yeah. It's what have we got on the driver's side then, Wesley?
Open up this rear locker here now, and we have this other first aid hose, and that works on the high pressure side. We get a fire tonight, so God forbid a house fire. We'll run with that go-to hose, the first aid reel. That'll give out a 24 bar pressure for fire behaviour techniques. 60 metres long. It's the yellow hose there, now you see in front of you. It's all new. It's it rolls out handy enough. We're bringing it back in. It'll roll up on pneumatics. Got to do with the air system. Will pull it back in for us.
Okay, so there's absolutely everything on this truck, Wesley. Where's the jaws of life? I want to get my hands on this.
The jaws of life, like, they're up there at the front. I'll open up the front locker, because that mid locker is exact same as the far side. It's all the hoses and stuff. Yeah, so I'll open up that locker there. There we are now. We'll pull out this tray. I'll just get you to get a hold of this piece of equipment. This is called a combi tool. I'll just take it off there. Oh, like, what you make of that?
Very heavy, Wesley. A lot of this stuff is physical, isn't it?
Yeah. If you're working, if it's a long duration, that tool is there to take off doors, basically for ripping. They rip doors off and do that, and it works on awful amount of pressure, 720 bar pressure. That little pump, that pump down there is the hydraulic pump. You connect up the orange hoses that you see there in the side of the tray. That connects up to the coupling there on the end of the spreader. That give off 720 bar pressure. It's fierce pressure in those.
So, folks, anyone listening, there is everything on this fire engine. I would have 100% total confidence that these guys here can deal with anything. Water rescue, chimney fires, road traffic accidents, obviously house fires. It's a one-stop shop. What's inside it, Wesley? Can we get into...
Inside, Lige, yeah. Just beside us there, I'll open the cab.
Right, so we're into the fun part now. This is what I was waiting for, Wesley. You're in the back of the fire engine, everyone. It's actually quite spacious, isn't it? What seats 8 people?
Yeah, well, seats 8, Lige. But you imagine there's 2 in the front. All right, and 6 lads in the back. It looks big, but it's not. When you have to get in the rig into your BA set there, it's very confined. You know, you don't have that much room at all.
Okay.
We got the luxury there now because of the COVID. We're after getting another appliance. It's a little van. We have it across the road there, stored away there across the road, and 2 lads get into that van.
Right, so it's another support vehicle then.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so like you've other equipment here, Wesley. What's this thing in front of me? It looks like a small TV monitor with a handle on it.
Yeah, like it's a thermal image camera. Basically, we'll bring it in, say, to our chimney fire. We're looking for hotspots. If the chimney's on fire, we'll pout the fire, whatever, clean the chimney. But we go around the camera after and we look for hotspots. We won't leave the house until we're totally satisfied that the temperature has dropped, you know.
Okay. So, of course, every fireman has a Class C license, there, right? You can all drive this truck.
Exactly, Lige. Yeah, it's in your contract. When you sign your contract at the start, it's in your contract that you have to be able to go and get your C license. A lot of people get a big buzz out of driving it. Now it is a buzz, all right. But on the other side of it, there's a lot of water in the back. The water shifts.
Yeah, can you imagine driving this thing now on the Forban or Rahan Road? Or
I should light it off. For instance, I'm often driving out there, heading to Forban. We could get a call there for Forban, and we go up that bog road. And that Sikh driving, Martin Buckley, I tell you, because he's very short. And he'd be very short and he'd be bouncing up and down the seat and missing pedals. And
right.
He'd nearly bounce out the window.
Like, yeah, so it's all a part about getting there safely and obviously saving lives, what you do. We tried on the gear earlier on. Well, I tried on the gear. Now, it was very snug. Who owned that?
Do you want me to tell you, like?
Actually, don't want to know, but I had it on anyway. It's very heavy. I found it very restrictive. I can imagine going into a burning building, obviously, unfortunately, sometimes trying to save casualties and that. It must be, is it, what's it like walking into a burning building? With all this trapped you, you have a 2.5 stone BA set and you have your full hat, your uniform. And
the gear alone, say you have your trousers, your fire trousers, you have boots, you have the tunic. That gear and the helmet, of course, that weighs in around 15 kg. And then you go, you're getting a call there to go off with a house fire. You're rigging in your BA and that's another 15 kg on top of it. Like, at the start, yeah, it was very... We thought it was heavy enough, you know, but training and everything, we just get used to it.
Do you feel like you're well equipped in the Clara Fire Service, was it?
Allied, yeah, exactly. The amount of training that we get is second to none, you know. Boys are very efficient. We have a very good crew down there.
Right. There's a lot of, like, I've only been chatting to lads a few times, but there's a lot of pride there.
There will be huge pride. It's for community, lead, yeah. It's a great pride in that station. Everyone gives 100%.
So, Wesley, we're going to hear a little noise of, or give people an idea what the alerter would be like at 3 o'clock in the morning, Wesley Kynes' house. Wesley Kynes, Mrs. Aoife, and the kids are asleep in bed. So, what does this sound like?
There you are, late. I'll set it off there now.
Oh, Wesley, I wouldn't, at least I'd be able to hear them half deaf, but you'd definitely hear that, wouldn't you?
Ah, you would, yeah. To start, when it goes off, say 2 or 3 in the morning, you're all over the place. You know, you could be running around like a headless chicken, but you just get used to it, you know. Yeah.
Well, Wesley, kind, thank you very much for being a part of the Clara Fire Services and for all your commitment.
That's grand. Like, can I just thank a couple of people here, if you don't mind? First of all, I'd just like to thank the past and present crew that had gone through the station. Like, the station's 8 years, that building is 8 years old now, and we've built 1940, 2000 now. I'd like to thank the past and present and their families and wives, whatever. I'd really like to give Barry Finn a big mention. Barry does a mountain of work behind the scenes with the fire crew. He spent so much time with the medical training and PPE advice. He's a great servant to the community.
Yeah. Barry is a great asset, even to myself here. Yeah. Barry gives me a lot of help. And Barry he doesn't like to take a lot of credit for keeping the fire station open, but Barry was involved heavily there.
Exactly, yeah,
I'd have to thank him that from everyone for the town. So, Barry, take a compliment if you're listening.
There you are, Barry.
Wesley Kynes, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Clyde. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Next person to join me on the podcast was a huge member of the Clara Fire Service since the 1960s. Sean T. O'Brien, thank you very much for joining me on this special podcast.
To be with you, great show.
Thank you very much, Sean. Sean, we're talking about the Clara Fire Service, and no better man to talk to than yourself. How long have you been there for, Sean?
I started in 1960 and I finished in 1960, yeah, and I finished in 1996.
Wow. So what was it like back then? There wasn't many pagers back then, Sean, was there?
There was no, I'll tell you, when I joined, I went with the crew that was there. It was John McCone and those fellas. He was the station officer. Yeah, Joe Feary, Jack Cowan, Eddie Heaton, Joe Toohey, Noel Dunnigan, Jack Gunnan, and Mikey Connor. We had an 8-man crew at that time. I joined at that time in 1960. They were there.
Right. So what was it like back then in 1960, Sean? I know there are a lot of advances nowadays.
It was very poor. We had a Land Rover starting off, and we had eight of a crew in a Land Rover. That'll tell you what that was. We had a system call out, which was the siren at the time. That's gone out of all alerters, new equipment. It was a call by phone to the house of the station officer, who was, we say, Mag McCone. She was the girl who answered that or rang the siren most times, because the husband, Joe, was working away in the factory. And it applied to me when I took over from Joe in 97. And I had my wife answering all the calls, and the family had to be housed every weekend. It was a 24/7 service. You had to have someone manning the phone all the day, all the week, and all the time you were there.
Yeah, so anybody my age would remember the siren on top of the fire station going off. Was that your call and how you got the calls as well?
That was the call, and we were working local, and somebody would turn around and say, yeah, I thought I heard the siren ringing when the wind would be blowing in the opposite direction. So, you know, it's a rather antiquated system.
Right. So how do you think the fire station is equipped nowadays compared to when you were there, Sean?
It's very modernised. It's very modernised indeed. They have all sorts of equipment. They have all sorts of protection. When we joined first, when I joined, we had no breathing apparatus. They have that sort of equipment. Now you had to go into the fires without the breathing apparatus. And, you know, it was an antiquated system.
Okay. Sean, it was very much a family calling for you. A lot of O'Briens in it. Can you take us through how many family members were in it?
Well, we had my brother Noel, brother Martin, my son Eden, and my nephew Martin O'Brien. So we had a fair connection. It was mostly around families, the McJones, and that those were the people who were manning them most of the time. It was very hard to get people to join the brigade in those years, because when I joined, it was £5 every 3 months, five all punts every 3 months. And breaking that down to per day, it was around 42 pence a day.
Right.
So there wasn't too many interested. And if you break it down to £5 in 3 months, worked out around £1.10 pence a month.
Right. Did you ever make up how many calls you were on during the years?
Oh, we had over 100, and I think 23 one time. Particularly, it was the summer, I think it was 95. My wife, Lawrence, would answer the phone, and she had to answer 22 calls in one day. We had to sit out and look after those calls as well. Our lives were taken up by the calls and that particular year. Right. Yeah.
So a huge commitment, Sean. You must have enjoyed it, though, and got a good buzz out.
I did. I loved and enjoyed every moment. It wasn't just a fact that you're getting a few bob. The money is now very good now, don't get me wrong. It was an honour, and it was sort of a vocation. And if you don't like the fire brigade, it's like everything else, you're not going to be a fireman. It's a 24-hour call, as I say, when young men want to go now to, the dances are gone, we're in lockdown. But when things were going good, they were looking to get off for matches, and you had to turn around and stop them, because you had to have a crew at all times in the town.
Talk to me about some of the old serving members like Jody Rabbit and Sean Taylor. You would have worked with them all.
I did. I worked with Jody Rabbit. I said I worked with the older boys in the beginning. And we had Sean Taylor. We had Jody Rabbit. We had John Keegan, who has gone over to England. And while I'm talking about the older fellas that are there, I would like to take this opportunity of wishing them all a very happy Christmas. And the younger men that's there now, I want to wish them all good, because they're doing a great job. I've been checked out up and down, pay a little bit of attention to what's going on. And they are a great bunch of lads. And we're long to keep going. We're still getting good return for our youth in our town.
Great. And it's great to see the fire station still in Clara, Sean. It's so important.
Well, it is. And I hope that will continue, because we need a fire brigade at all times. You just don't want to be leaving it to our station. We're in a 15, 10, 20 minute distance of all other stations. So Clara is very important. We have a big town now, and it's improving.
Well, Sean T, thanks for all your commitment down through the years from the people of Clara.
Thanks very much. Good luck to your show.
Thanks, Sean, and take care of yourself.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Great stuff there from Sean T. O'Brien. Of course, a huge community call back in the 1960s. 8 men going out in a Land Rover. No breeding apparatus. So really, really tough men. Great stuff there. My last person to join me on the special Clara Fire Service podcast is also a past serving member, Nigel DiBello. What's the story?
I'm very good, Lloyd. How are you doing?
Thanks a million for joining me on the podcast. Nigel, how long were you serving in Clara Fire Service?
I joined Clara, I suppose, in 1998, and I left Clara then in 2017. So 19 years I did with Offaly Fire Service.
Okay, so tell us about some of them 19 years, Nigel.
Great times, I have to say. No, I have the greatest of time for Offaly Fire Service. Look, I wouldn't be, I suppose, where I was in the fire service if it wasn't for them. A lot of good times, a lot of great crew members. You know, a lot of I suppose, times where we saw and did things that, you know, weren't nice. But look, as I suppose the old adage is, somebody has to do it. Somebody has to see it.
Yeah.
And that was us for a long, long time.
What was it like starting off in Clara Fire Service, although as a recruit and then on to station officer?
It was the good old days where there wasn't so much, health and safety legislation. And and then that all changed in about 2005 when people started to get very serious about the workplace and all that kind of stuff. So it was great. Look, the camaraderie in the fire service can't be beaten. It's one of those organizations where you gel together very quickly or you don't. You rely on your comrades. You rely on your colleagues, you know, to have your back. You basically to be with you, in situations which are dangerous by times. So you do get to rely on them. You do build a bond with them. And it's one of those bonds that it's there for a long, long time. It's like your college friends. You know, that you go to college with them, you spend a lot of time with them, and they're probably friends for life.
Okay, so you moved to Kildare then, Nigel, is that right?
That's right, yeah. I went and I took a full-time position as the station officer managing fire HQ in Kildare. So Kildare, look, was a totally different beast in relation to Offaly. In Offaly, I suppose the busiest station would have been Tullamore, and they would have had calls up in the region, about 200 calls a year. In Clara, we would have had about 100 calls a year. So I moved to a station then in Newbridge, which was doing 500 calls a year. So it was nonstop.
Right, so what was it like, Nigel, stepping in from a retained fire service to a full-time fire service? Was there much of a difference?
Yeah, there is a huge difference. And it was one of the things that was said to me way, way back by a couple of colleagues who have said that, look, this is a completely different beast that you're going into now. The retained service, and I will say this, Lloyd, that any of the lads that work in the retained service or girls for that matter, I have the height of respect for them. It's one of those jobs that I suppose goes unnoticed by members of the public. They don't realise what these lads and ladies do and that what they give up in relation to their own private lives to be part of a crew that is on call pretty much 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. So working full time was, again, quite challenging coming from a quiet station in Clara to one of the busiest, if not the busiest station in the country outside of Dublin. So, very, very challenging. But look, it took me about, I suppose, 6 months to a year to get my head around. I've got a real job now and I better start getting my act together. And then, look, when everyone gels together, it works quite well. But the calls in Newbridge and in the greater, I suppose, Kildare area, which is what I would have covered, were very, very, I suppose, difficult calls. A lot of motorway infrastructure. A lot of domestic house fires and commercial fires as well. So quite different from, I suppose, chimney fires and outdoor fires, which is probably what I would have been used to in Clara.
Okay, so the level of commitment obviously is huge with the retained service. Is the professionalism the same as a full-time firefighter?
What I'm going to say is, and people might disagree with me, but I'm going to tell you that the retained service, in my opinion, are more professional than the full-time guys. And I don't apologize for that one bit at all. But within the retained brigade, the lads are constantly drilling. They're constantly upskilling. The lads in the full-time service, once they've gone through their recruit course, other than refresher courses, that's pretty much it. So I would genuinely put the retained service professionalism, just their dedication and professionalism, high outranks, in my opinion, the full-time guys.
Okay, interesting stuff. Important to say, Nigel, that Clara Fire Service is only safe if people apply for the jobs that are being advertised when they come out. What would you say to anybody thinking of applying?
Yeah, well, look, Lloyd, I don't know whether you remember or not, but back in about 2005, there was a big push on by Offaly County Council. And I suppose I don't want to get all political and everything like that, because I'm gone beyond that now. But there was an effort to close Clara Fire Station. And we had a very, very strong committee that was formed, headed up by our great man of Clara, Barry Flynn, and I think Tim McMahon and Michelle Coyne, I think, were on the committee. And there was a lot of other people, Frank Moore and Catch Buckley and his wife. Her name just escapes me at the moment.
It is Margaret, you're right, actually.
Max, that's right. Yeah. So and others as well. There was a lot of people on that committee that really fought long and hard to make sure that people were aware that the station was under threat, and it was under a significant threat. We had four of us. There were only four members of the service at the time myself, Sean Taylor, Martin Buckley, and Brian Preston. Right. And we had to keep that station going on our own, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for almost a year before we had John Lane and then Wesley Coyne and then John Nehan joined the brigade. But it was some time afterwards, and it did put a huge strain on all of us. But we still, you know, we kept the station open. But it was the good, strong work of that committee. And again, the likes of Barry Cowan and Brian Cowan, who led the charge as well, to keep the station open. But to go back to your question, if people don't apply, the station will fall by the wayside. And it's as simple as that. We need the numbers there. We need the numbers up. It is a very challenging job. And that's no way of undermining the job itself. It is extremely challenging, so both mentally and physically.
What makes a good firefighter, Nigel?
Ah, well, look, you got a picture of me in front of you.
All over the wall here.
I heard that about you, all right. No, look, all joking aside, first of all, you have to have a caring nature about you. Second of all, if you have a technical ability, it helps. And what I mean by that is if you are, I suppose, mechanically inclined, if you have an electrical background or have some kind of a trade, it helps. But you don't need that. The main focus, I suppose, of the fire service these days is the ability to understand and interpret orders that are given to you by the incident commander. There's a lot of challenges out there insofar as road traffic accidents and domestic fires where there is, I suppose, the fundamentals of fire are involved as well. So what is a fire? What can it do? How can it hurt either me or the people around me? And then road traffic collisions as well. There's a lot of procedures that need to be put in place to manage the safety of the crew at the incident first. And then we worry about the technical aspects of a rescue afterwards.
Okay, Nigel, do you miss Clara Fire Service?
Every day of the week, Lloyd. I drive by. I genuinely do. I retired in February after doing 22 years in the service. And there isn't a day goes by that I don't miss the camaraderie. You know, I work for an excellent organization now being Trade Safety Limited. And Austin and Patricia Handy they're superb. They give me, I won't say free rein, but I've taken on the fire safety role there in that organization. Yeah,
well, that's great Clara company, by the way.
It's a fantastic company. It really is. I mean, they've gone from strength to strength. And people, I suppose, don't realize until they need a fire safety consultant or a health and safety consultant that expertise is actually in Clara, you know, and can be availed of in Clara. But I do genuinely miss the fire service. I don't miss getting out of bed at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on a cold winter's night to go and deal with a car crash. But I do miss the camaraderie. And that's something that it's quite difficult to get over.
Okay. And finally, Nigel Tabella, what's your hope for the fire service in Clara for the future?
Oh, that's easy. That's a very easy one. They need a new station. Clara Fire Station was ring-fenced some funds numerous years ago when I was actually the station officer. We lobbied hard, as did the councillors, Dervil Dolan and Barry Cowan at the time, and our Taoiseach, Brian Cowan, and then Barry Cowan as a minister has lobbied hard to get Offaly County Council to basically stump up some land, because the money is ring-fenced from the department. It was when I was in charge anyway. So the money apparently is there, and that's what the lads need down there, and the ladies if they join. They need good working environment, a decent, clean working environment where they can turn out and do the fantastic job that they're doing every day of the week.
Nigel Tabella, former station officer of the Clara Fire Service, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast.
Lloyd, it's been a pleasure talking to you. You're a gentleman.
I have a short statement here from Frank Moore, our local county councillor, and it states, at the last council meeting, I requested an update from council management where an application has been submitted to the department for a new fire station. I have asked Deputy Cowan to contact his colleague with responsibility to ensure the application is with the correct office. In conjunction with the new housing development in Raheen, Offaly County Council have left enough space for the new facilities. I will continue to press this issue at every opportunity, as I have done since first being elected to Offaly County Council. I'd like to commend the past and present fire personnel for the professionalism and dedication to the town of Clara and its environs, and wish them all the best in the future. That's from Frank Moore. That's the latest on our new fire station. That's it, folks. Thank you very much for joining me on this special podcast for the Clara Fire Service. I hope it gives you a little insight in what goes on and the training involved and the commitment, which is the biggest part of these firefighters' lives. Don't forget, if you see an application or an advertisement for a fire service job, please apply if you're from the town and you think you could do it, because it's by applying that will keep this fire service open. And if nobody goes for the jobs, then that's where we're in trouble. Thank you very much for Barry Flynn for his report earlier, Sean T. O'Brien, Philip Keegan, John Lane, and of course Wesley Kine for the great tour. Don't forget, if you need the fire service, dial 999 or indeed 112. Tell them you're from Clara County Offaly and the boys will be there in minutes. Going to finish up the podcast with a great piece of music from Nigel Rabbit. Nigel played mostly everything on this little piece of music. Hit the road, Jack. Talk to you next week. This podcast is brought to you by Daigan Minibus Services, providing transport services to Clara and the surrounding areas since 1984.
You just listened to What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Check out all our social channels for info on new episodes. Oh, and thanks for listening. On the Town.